All right, everyone. Please, may I have your attention? Hello. Now, we're about to run the session on UEV implementation. First, we'll take New Zealand, then Australia. That's the order of the program. There are two papers to be presented this afternoon, one of which has been distributed, and when Josie gets up, she'll talk about the distribution of the other paper. Now, the first paper that we're dealing with this afternoon, we finish as per the program. No, as per the program. And so the program makes it clear that this afternoon's session finishes at 4:45. Now, the paper is UEB in New Zealand 2008 to 2012, and that's Maria Stevens, Janet Reynolds, Steve Bellamy and Raylene Smith. Well, two of our authors are still back in New Zealand, but we have a third presenter who wasn't directly involved in writing the paper but has been very directly involved in UEB implementation. And so the whole New Zealand team is here, Maria Stevens, Janet Reynolds and Paula Waby. I'm not sure who's starting first, but would you like to take it away, please?
Hello, Janet here. The paper we are about to present is called UEB in New Zealand 2008-2012. It was put together by our Braille Authority, and I would like to acknowledge two of its authors who are unable to be with us. Raylene Smith, who has a long association with ICEB, and Steve Bellamy, who manages the Resource Teachers Vision in New Zealand. The paper describes in some detail our implementation experience, because different bits may be of interest to different people. Today, Maria, Paula and I will read a shortened version of the paper. It's still quite long, so I'll get started straight away. New Zealand is a small country with a population of approximately 4 million spread across the North and South Islands. One of the benefits of being a small country is the small number of stakeholder groups, and all these groups are represented on the Braille Authority. The usage of Braille in New Zealand started with British Braille and later moved to English Braille American Edition, including the use of Nemeth for maths and science. The Braille Authority voted to adopt UEB in November 2005. In 2006, BAN set up a subcommittee to develop a plan for UEB implementation across four areas: curriculum support, teaching of adults, production, and library services. This subcommittee was the key element in achieving the successful implementation of UEB because its membership was representative of all key stakeholder groups, and as a result, was able to build upon the interconnections and codependencies of the various sector players. It was evident from the outset that it would not be possible to produce all school materials in UEB immediately, and as a result, a phased approach to UEB implementation was put in place. Young students beginning their Braille journey received all their material in UEB. However, students working at secondary level who were transitioning to UEB received only new material in UEB and still accessed material in the old code from the library. An exception was maths and science, where new material for secondary students was still produced in the Nemeth code, as these students needed continuity for their senior studies. Now, the next section was written by Steve Bellamy. Blind and Low Vision Education Network ANZ, BLENS, is a state-run special school. The BLENS Home Eye Campus School is located in Auckland, with 12 visual resource centres located in the larger cities across New Zealand. There are approximately 85 school-aged students in New Zealand who are using Braille to achieve literacy and numeracy. Of those, 64% are in regular settings, that's mainstreaming. The others have additional needs and are educated in special schools or attached units. When BAM set up the subcommittee in 2006 to develop an implementation plan for UEB, a subset of teachers and educators with expertise in Braille and Braille teaching was elected to ensure the transition plan supported the New Zealand curriculum. The organisation and production of resource material, along with the programme of teaching opportunities, was planned around existing national and regional working groups and occasions. A new teaching resource, The Hitchhiker's Guide to UEB, was developed and was launched at the annual conference of the Association of Teachers of the Vision Impaired in September 2007. The Hitchhiker's Guide to UEB provided resource teachers and young Braille users with the literacy and numeracy reference material and exemplars to begin the transition. Parents of BLEND students have been kept well informed throughout the process. The students' IEP, that's Individual Education Plan, meeting has been the prime opportunity to inform and support parents and caregivers through the transition. The introduction of UEB at the National Conference of Teachers was consolidated with ongoing teaching and learning opportunities and professional development for staff throughout 2008 and beyond. One of the key areas for this professional development was numeracy. The decision was made that some students would remain on Nemeth to complete their studies. The decision about which code to use was made on an individual student basis in consultation with the student's individual education plan team, that's IEP. This would ensure specific numeracy needs could be addressed and teaching resources made available in mathematics and science at appropriate levels. So then we looked at how things were going 4 years on, and Steve says, in a recent anecdotal survey of teachers, the following collective observations have been made. Young users of UEB have coped extremely well with the changes to the code. BLEND's teaching and support staff have embraced the changes created by the transition to UEB in a positive manner and have implemented a range of strategies to ensure these changes have been received and taught in an interesting and informative way, while providing explanations as to why the changes have occurred. The initial challenges for the BLEND's teaching and support staff was in understanding why this change occurred and learning the changes required, while continuing to instruct students. The majority of challenges were raised around the Braille Mathematics Code, especially for those higher level primary students who made the change to UEB and required new resources, and for those students at an emergent numeracy literacy stage. Year 9 mathematics is also very UEB code heavy, and prior instruction at this time becomes essential. Understanding and learning the changes required to implement the transition to UEB has involved a reliance on the Hitchhiker's Guide to UEB and its quick reference sheets. Accepting that all teaching staff did not need to be experts immediately, but did need to know and have access to correct UEB and formatting, was important. The overall transition to UEB over the past 4 years has been smooth and effective. Decisions about individual student needs have been able to be flexible, and UEB is now a reality and working well. New and reformatted resources have been necessary, but this has been well managed to minimise any disruption to the student learning. And I'll now pass over to Maria, who's going to talk about production.
Okay, RNZFB Accessible Format Production, AFP. RNZFB is the main producer of accessible formats in New Zealand. AFP produces Braille, large print and electronic text, and currently has a team of around 20 staff. The first step was to ensure that Braille translation software had the most up-to-date translation tables and that a template had been circulated not just to staff on site but also to AFP volunteers and contractors and to BLEND staff who produce Braille directly for students. The AFP team produces most literary material by translation, whereas staff producing maths and music use a mixture of translation and six key entry. New Zealand has two official written languages, English and Māori. In the 1970s, it was agreed that Māori would be brailled with just one contraction, dots 1, 5, 6, for WH, which is pronounced as a single consonant. The only accent is the macron, which was presented by dots 4, 5, 6. When UEB was adopted in 2005, the Braille Authority of New Zealand concluded that this was compatible with UEB. A decision was made to make no immediate changes to Braille layout. The reference book used by the team is the Banner publication, Braille Formats, Principles of Print to Braille, Transcription, 1997. A short document summarising the code changes was prepared. This had a page each on punctuation, capitalisation, numbers, typeforms, grade 1 mode, Māori and foreign words, and contraction changes. It was based on the interim rules being developed by the ICEB Rules Committee. A workshop was held in July 2007 for the producers and proofreaders. Each page of the summary document was discussed and everyone transcribed a short exercise on the Perkins. A symbols list was prepared in print and braille, grouping the symbols under headings for easy reference. The RNZFB magazine Outlook had been produced in UEB for several years, so the proofreaders were used to reading UEB and familiar with the most common changes. When implementation began in 2008, proofing queries were dealt with pragmatically, with the producer and proofreader working together to check them out against the interim rules. Another decision around the preliminary pages and binding of the Braille books, as the libraries were now to contain books in both codes, the UEB ones each have a Braille green sticker on the front cover, with UEB in print and Braille. The special symbols page states that the book is in UEB and includes all the new symbols in the volume. The catalogue record includes a UEB flag in an easily searchable field. Adult readers were also provided with a summary in Braille of commonly used UEB symbols. And there are ongoing challenges. Producers and proofreaders found some aspects of the code challenging in the first year. The standing alone rule was not easy to digest, and a list of examples showing how this affected words separated by hyphens, slashes, or dashes was found to be of help. The use of contractions in words containing prefixes and suffixes also caused much debate. Adjustments needed to be made for the dash when translating documents, as it could no longer be entered from the keyboard as two hyphens. Number codes for entering common print symbols like the dash and the minus sign were shared. There was also ongoing debate about the spacing of the dash. The team had a strong preference for a consistent approach, and it was agreed that AFP would unspace all dashes from the word on either side. However, it was also agreed that it was technically correct to follow print, and that any intervention to do otherwise was in this case just an agency decision. The phrase technically correct became a bit of a catchphrase as the team struggled to find a balance between readability, human intervention, and the need for Braille to accurately represent the print. In many cases, the balance shifted gradually as producers and proofreaders became more familiar with UEB. During the first year, the translation software would sometimes give unexpected results, often in a situation when there was an unusual combination of typeforms, punctuation or styles. These queries were logged and emailed to Duxbury for clarification. Now, in 2012, it is unusual for software-related queries to arise. There was a certain nervousness the first time a foreign language textbook was requested in UEB. Again, a pragmatic approach was taken, and the French phrases were brailled as usual using the French accents, while UEB was used for the English phrases. It was decided not to use code switching, as the interface between the two languages was clearly indicated by the layout. The team still refer to the Banner publication on foreign languages for formatting advice, and this does not seem to cause any conflict with UEB. A similar approach was taken to music texts, and again, this seems to be workable. There had been some concern that the overall size of books would increase, but no one has commented on this. The money spent on braille paper has not increased, and the occasional extra page has not been noticed. Another potential area for concern was the labelling of diagrams, as it was felt that the braille labels might be longer and harder to fit on the page. Again, no one has commented on this being a problem. Overall, the production team coped very well with the transition to UEB, and by 2010, they were relaxed and confident with the production and proofreading of almost all literary material. Now, mathematics and science. The brailing of maths and science has been a much bigger challenge. Maths text for younger students needed to be brailled in UEB, whereas maths text for older students were still being brailled in Nemeth. The proofreaders could therefore be proofing UEB in the morning, UEB maths in the morning, and Nemeth in the afternoon. Although this was tiring, the adjustment between codes became increasingly seamless. The producers found this challenging. Three volunteers and one contractor focused purely on Nemeth, but staff on site needed to do both codes. By 2009, several staff were brailing maths books in two codes simultaneously. By 2010, the proportion of Nemeth was decreasing, and two long-serving volunteers took the opportunity to retire. The other two off-site producers have both passed the Trans-Tasman Braille Proficiency Certificate and will transition to the production of UEB Maths. In 2008, producers and proofreaders were taken through key chapters in the Guidelines for Technical Material. This involved practicing the direct entry of fractions and superscripts. When a producer began a maths book in UEB, they were encouraged to use less direct entry and instead use the text from the publisher and insert the maths, fraction, and superscript codes in Duxbury. Producers who had previously only produced literary material were assigned simple maths texts and learnt on the job, something that had never been attempted in the past when a producer was learning Nemeth. As the UEB reading students moved up the school and started tackling algebra, producers were increasingly asking questions, often around where best to put the grade 1 indicators. In July 2010, a team was set up to prepare some supplementary examples to sit alongside the technical guidelines. Areas to be covered were fractions, superscripts and subscripts, spatially arranged arithmetic, roots and modified expressions. Each member sourced a list of tricky print examples, many from the Nemeth tutorial book, brailled them using the advice in the technical guidelines, and presented them to the group. Reading through these examples was a good learning exercise for the whole group and enabled input from an experienced proofreader on the readability of the braille. Alongside these supplementary examples will sit some extra guidance on the layout of mathematical exercises. Initially, maths layout has been based on the advice in the Nemeth tutorial book, but increasingly the team see this advice as overly prescriptive and would like a more flexible approach. Producers with a long background in Nemeth are still experiencing grief at losing such an elegance, the elegance that is so much a part of the Nemeth code. However, they have risen to the challenge and now have the confidence to present complex maths and in UEB. It has been impressive to see the ease with which the proofreaders have adapted to the change. And now I'll hand over to Paula Wavy.
Hi, this part of the paper was written by Raylene Smith, so I'm reading that in her absence. Simply Touch and Read STAR, Contracted Braille Teaching Program. In New Zealand, adults learning Braille by touch are trained by adaptive communications instructors employed by the Royal New Zealand Foundation of the Blind. These instructors are based at 6 regional locations throughout New Zealand and are trained to provide Braille instruction to adult learners. They also provide assessment and training in Braille technologies and other blindness and low vision technologies. It is becoming more common for Braille and related technologies to complement learning programs. When the New Zealand Braille Authority BAMS voted to adopt the Unified English Braille Code in 2005, this coincided with research findings that clearly identified the need for updating content of existing adult contracted Braille teaching materials used in New Zealand. Plans were initiated for the development of a new contracted Braille instructional course with the Foundation of the Blind, RNZFB, agreeing to support this project. The outcome was the production of Simply Touch and Read, STAR. STAR was launched in May 2010. STAR provides a comprehensive resource based on individual learning outcomes. Course objectives are to assist the learner to achieve a Braille tactual recognition base for the development of reading and writing fluency, to enable the learner to achieve the following literacy tasks: record information in Braille, read Braille for enjoyment, write and read a Braille email address on hard copy or when using equipment with a Braille display, read and write a website address and computer file pathway in Braille. The STAR course has 5 lesson books. Each lesson book has 10 lessons. Each lesson book is supported by a tutorial in audio format, reading practice books, a Braille signs book listing the new Braille signs plus those from previous lesson books. Each lesson has 3 pages. Pages are 40 cells and 25 lines with double line spacing. There is an optional book, STAR Supplement Additional Braille Signs. This book also has an accompanying tutorial in audio format. The design of STAR was guided by principles listed in the full paper. In 2011, tables for introduction of Braille symbols across the STAR lesson content were included in the Duxbury Translation Program. Hence, the scope for practice materials has been extended. Now in 2012, a small number of learners have completed learning contracted Braille using the STAR course. Others have used segment of STAR to assist in transitioning to UEB. In New Zealand, an uncontracted Braille instruction program, Keeping in Touch, is also available. This may be used prior to the STAR program. Tactual development books are also available for assessment and as a supplementary resource. The adaptive communications instructors all had some involvement with the development of STAR program, and so were themselves fully conversant with UEB by the time the program was launched. The Foundation offers the STAR course materials as a package for purchase. And now I'll hand back to Janet.
So I'm going to read a short section on the libraries and then the conclusion. RNZFB runs 2 libraries for accessible format material: the Parnell Library, mainly for adults, and the Homai Special Formats Library for children. There are over 3,000 users of Parnell Library, but the majority only borrow talking books. Only about 100 of these users borrow Braille books, and only half of those borrow Braille on a regular basis. We're a small country. Since 2008, 91 UEB titles have been added to the library. The Braille readers are in regular contact with the library staff and are not afraid to express their views. But to date, only one person has commented on the new code and expressed a preference not to receive the new books. The HOMI Special Formats Library provides material to support the school curriculum, so is dealing both with school students who are transitioning from the old code to UEB, as well as younger students who are learning Braille for the first time in UEB. New Braille material for the library collection is ordered from Accessible Format Production, and from 2008 this was mainly requested in UEB. The only exception is maths and science material, which might be required in either Nemeth or UEB, depending on the age and background of the student. This did mean that some primary school maths textbooks, which could have been provided off the shelf in Nemeth, had to be rebrailed in UEB. This introduced another layer of complexity for the library staff and some delays in delivery, but on the whole the adjustment went smoothly. The demographies of the student body between 2008 and 2012 happened to mean that the main clumps of Braille reading students were at the younger end, and the biggest challenge has been keeping up with the demand for early readers. It is not clear yet what the implications will be as this group of students moves up the school. Many New Zealand textbooks have new editions every few years, so textbook production may not be much affected. However, the library has a large collection of literary material in the old code. The prediction from the education sector is that students who have only learnt UEB will soon get familiar with the non-UEB contractions and will not be disadvantaged. And the conclusion? In the writing of this paper, it has been encouraging to reread the original UEB implementation plan from 2006 and acknowledge to ourselves how much of the work has already been completed. When talking to the various players, the general feeling is that implementation is almost complete and that the transition, though challenging at times, has been successful. Ensuring that school students were not disadvantaged was a crucial driver when planning began in 2006. Key to the success of the introduction of UEB to young learners in New Zealand has been the excellent consultation and collaboration between teaching staff and producers. Another key theme is the identification of the different types of training manuals that would be needed, both for the teachers and for the production team, and the involvement of staff in the writing of these wherever possible, as well as the collaboration between teams across Blends and RNZFB. Training sessions for the production team needed to be flexible, so that staff had the chance to air their concerns and debate the best approach. Commencing training while the rulebook was still incomplete and the translation software still being tuned had its disadvantages, but the involvement and problem solving that were required did lead to a sense of ownership and achievement. But the biggest lesson learnt from the whole process was not to underestimate the adaptability of the Braille reader, whether they be young or old. Braille is an evolving living code, which now appears as commonly on Braille displays as it does on paper. The success of transition in New Zealand reflects the power of Braille, its flexibility, and its future.
Thank you very much, Janet, Maria, and Paula. Are there any questions for them at this stage? Okay, no question. No, we have a question. All right. Canada. Okay.
Unfortunately, you skipped over the part of the paper that I want to ask a question about. You mentioned a spreadsheet that you used to keep track of the software queries. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yes. We found that really valuable. It was a very simple spreadsheet. The first column said the date, and the second column, which staff member raised the query, and then a brief description of the query. I think I limited them to 10 words. And then we put in whether it had been resolved or not and how, and whether the resolution had been put into some kind of documentation. So it might say we've sent that query to Duxbury, or we've included it to a document we called code clarification, or we gave a reference to the interim rule book. And it was just a running document, and every now and then the team would have a look and see if there were any that hadn't been resolved and that we needed to talk about. Some of the queries were around, why is something contracted like that? And often the resolution would be, put that on the problem word list and we'll worry about it later. Does that answer your question, Phyllis?
May I just ask a supplemental question?
Sure.
Where was the spreadsheet? Where? How did people access it?
It was only for staff in the production team, and it was on our shared drive at work. Though if someone did ring in, if one of our volunteers rang in with a query, we added it to the list and we put their name against it and we kept them in touch. And that reminds me, yes, we did have a system whereby every now and then we sent our off-site people and volunteers a list of decisions that had been made.
Any further questions? The U.S.?
This is on. Yes, it's Diane Wormsley. I wondered if you had any data, anecdotal or otherwise, from your teachers who were using UEB with elementary math students who had previously been using Nemeth as to ease of learning mathematics by the students, ease of their own use of mathematics in UEB. We get a lot of questions about the ease of transition.
Because we had a phased-in approach and we had the teachers of the Braille-using students on board with us, they told us which students they felt, and they're closer to the action than we are, who could move to UEB and who couldn't. But we don't have any anecdotal evidence to say how well or how not so well they have done.
Can I just add one more question? But with the beginners who would have been starting in UEB?
They seem to, the feedback from the teachers that we did receive and we did ask before we came to the conference here was that they coped very well with the UEB. Students just read it and, oh, okay, that's that. And the teachers said they didn't have a lot of problems.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Australia.
Thank you. Janet, I'd like to congratulate you, Maria, and your co-writers on what it seems to be an excellent report. Some very clear documentation and some good paths to follow to get to collect that documentation. We in Australia didn't document as well as that. Perhaps it's because we've got far more production houses than you had to deal with. I don't know, but it just didn't happen. And I found that very interesting to see your whole plan, how you've gone about it, and the data that you now have. And I have to say I very much like your biggest lesson, and that was the adaptability of readers and how they just managed to adapt to it without too much fuss or bother. Thank you.
Jean from Canada.
Hi, that actually was most of what I was going to say. I wanted to say too that being from a country that has chosen to adopt UEB and is just in the process of working on an implementation plan, I enjoyed hearing about how things have gone for you guys. And in terms of the biggest lesson learned, yes, I wanted to point out, I think that's really important because I've heard a lot of comments about how hard this is going to be for people to make the transition, and I think this is an important thing to point out, that we as Braille users, we really can adapt to this. This isn't going to slow us down. We'll have some new things to learn, but really this isn't something that we can't adapt to. And I think we as Braille users and all the educators out there as well just need to remember that. So I'm really glad to see this on paper. Thanks.
I'm Jean, but firstly, thank you, Christine, for your kind words. I think one of the things in New Zealand, we are lucky that we're a small enough country that we can involve and pull in the main players for Braille. And that's, when I listen to people, other countries talking, I think the smallness of our country and the closeness of where we are is maybe an advantage.
Definitely, it's a challenge in Canada. We're just, even physically, we're not close, as you know, and just the fact that education is provincial. So yeah, that could definitely help you out. But we have a lot to learn from you guys, so thank you for sharing this information.
Betty?
I have two questions, actually. The first one is regarding additional costs when you had to produce texts in two formats, as you mentioned. Did you find that was significant? And the second question is about new adult learners learning UEB as opposed to literary Braille. The rules seem to be much easier and more straightforward, and I'm just wondering, did you notice any more ease of learning with your adults, or any difference in their motivations to learn Braille as a result of learning UEB as opposed to literary Braille?
Janet, I'll answer the first one, and I'll pass to Paula to answer the second one. The first one with the cost, we did appoint an extra proofreader for the first year to help us, because the proofreading slowed down while the proofreaders got used to the new code. Production-wise, I think the team just worked harder, and there were one or two delays. But the fact that the older students were still using Nemeth did help, because we had a lot of that on the shelf, and we could focus mainly on producing the UEB, the new UEB primary maths books that we were working on. The second question is hard to answer, so I'm going to pass it to Paula.
As part of my role is teaching people Braille, I guess I can answer that. We have only had a very small number of people complete the STAR program as yet. And as was the case before UEB, it's very much self-paced, so it depends a lot on the individual person's motivation and time anyway. We certainly have not noticed it taking any longer with UEB, and people have not expressed any great concern about some of the signs having more than one cell to remember. They haven't known any different, so I guess that it's a bit like children when they learn for the first time. They don't know what it was like before, so they've just adapted and seem to be working through it fine.
Yeah, Mike Townsend, UK. I find it a very encouraging story. Even though it's a small country, and we've got not quite such a big country as Canada, but many, many more people, I think it's a story that hopefully we will be following and in the footsteps of. Two questions. First of all, the Hitchhiker's Guide to UEB sounds a great idea. Is that shareable? Can we sort of use it? And second thing is the STAR Reading Programme. I'm very interested in getting new readers into reading Braille full stop. And is that a programme that's translatable or shareable across the ISB countries? Thank you. Oh, I should say, too, I was very interested to hear that no one noticed any significant increase in the size of the books.
Yeah, I mean, they were bigger, but nobody noticed. And they weren't that much bigger, hey. Now, let me think about the two questions. The Hitchhiker's Guide. I did bring two copies for people to look at, and I gave a bit of a description of what was in there at the maths meeting earlier. But it doesn't belong to our organisation, and the copyright belongs to the Ministry of Education.
So I'm going back to find out if some extracts of it might be shareable, but it isn't at the moment. The Star Book, also I do have one copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide here if anyone wants to look, and we did bring a sample of the Star Book. There's Lesson Book 1 and there's Practice Book 4 in Braille that people are welcome to look at. And at the moment we've got the Star, complete Star scheme with all the audio and the Braille files available on our website to purchase, but we are offering it at the moment for purchase. And that's the RNZFB website.
One more question we'll take on this paper from Joyce from Botswana.
Good afternoon all. I'm Joyce from Botswana. My question is about the two languages that we have in New Zealand. You were saying that you start the beginners with UEB. Does this mean that you are starting them with both languages or you choose to use one language? Thank you.
We start them in UEB in English. We don't actually start our new learners learning Māori unless they request it. Is that what you're asking?
If you have someone whose mother tongue is not English, and then you start with English, when are you going to draw that person back to the mother tongue, or you just think that they will learn when they are in other classes? What is it that you are doing?
If the student's parents or the child's parents wants them to learn Te Reo, that's Māori. We have allowance for that, but in New Zealand we only start their education in English.
All right, I'm afraid that's all the questions we can take from this paper. Thank you very much to Janet, Maria and Paula, and we'll acknowledge them in the regular way. Thank you. Now we'll just pause for a couple of seconds to let Janet and Maria and Paula leave the top table, and we'll invite Josie up for her paper. I'd like to welcome Josie House, who's going to present her paper, Travelling the Journey, Implementing the Unified English Braille UEB Code in the New South Wales Education Sector, Putting It to Bed and Tucking It In. So over to you, Josie.
Thanks, Mary. Firstly, I'd like to apologise or extend my apologies to the Assembly for not having my paper available for circulation prior to this meeting. I've promised Mary faithfully that I'll have it to her as soon as possible after I return. It's due to unforeseen circumstances at the time. I'd first like to start the presentation with just a little background information and then touch on the structure of my organisation so as to put the implementation model that we undertook into a context. When the vote was taken by all the representatives at the Australian Braille Authority annual meeting in 2005,
it became an historic day in the life of Braille. A decision was reached that UEB would be the national standard for Braille in Australia, with a 5-year transition period envisaged. This decision was essentially a recommendation to ensure that Australia's autonomous Braille producers used a single, harmonised and sustainable Braille code. UEB implementation was the responsibility of each Braille producer, and the detailed transition arrangements had to be developed in the context of each producer's core business, resources and community of interest. For those in the New South Wales government sector, we were excited, for now the process that had been promised for so long could begin. So this presentation further outlines the transition to UEB by the New South Wales Department of Education and Communities, where the elements of our core business are production, teaching and the use of Braille in mainstream settings. The key resources are people, most with expertise and others with a willingness to learn through a commitment to their students. In overviewing the transition of the UEB process, this presentation mentions the benefits, the difficulties, road humps and successes. It concludes with some observations about Braille in the New South Wales Government school system. I'd now like to touch briefly on the vision support structure of New South Wales, the department. In the New South Wales Government education system, the state is divided into 10 operational regions containing 23 teams of vision support teachers. Within these teams, vision support teachers support a large number of blind and low vision students as part of their caseload. Vision impaired students attend their local neighbourhood school. The department supports vision impaired students from preschool to year 12, which would capture students from age 3 to 18 approximately. As a guide, students in New South Wales commence school at 5 years of age, attend primary school from age 8 to 11, and high school from age 12 to 17. Within this framework, the State Braille and Large Print Unit is the unit that I manage, is a centralised production and has a comprehensive library service that provides materials to all vision impaired students from preschool to year 12 in the government sector who are supported by the itinerant support teacher's vision. The unit produces all the textbooks and examinations required by vision impaired students in alternate formats, Braille, large print and e-text, including statewide examinations and assessments such as the Best Start Kindergarten Assessment for delivery to newly enrolled kindergarten students on their first day of school, the Essential Secondary Science Assessment for Year 8 students and the Higher School Certificate for Year 12. We also had a school certificate examination for Year 10 students up until last year, but that's recently been discontinued. The unit also supports vision impaired students with the monthly school magazine for years 3, 4, 5 and 6, published by the department in Braille and large print format, and also provides heavily lined exercise books and pads, Braillers, Braille paper, geometric instruments and geometry kits such as the Austrian drawing kit. This is a state centralised service. Local support to students who are blind is also provided by 12 Braille outposts located in schools throughout the state who produce miscellaneous and ephemeral handout material in Braille that is required in class and which is usually needed with a short turnaround. These Braille outposts are linked to the centralised unit to ensure there's a comprehensive and integrated support to students. Itinerant support teachers' vision also produce the instant on-the-spot Braille that may be required by their student. Since the inception of the National Assessment Program on Literacy and Numeracy, known as NAPLAN, in 2008, the production unit has been engaged to deliver the Braille format to all Braille reading students in Australia. The unit has also been engaged to do the national competitions for the University of New South Wales in Braille for science, mathematics, reading, writing and spelling. So our experience, although targeting New South Wales students in particular, at times also has a national responsibility. So a strategy plan Excuse me just a moment. Sorry, my voice is going. As a result of the ICEB decision and subsequent ABA vote to adopt UEB in 2005, the stage was now set for implementation nationally, and the New South Wales Department of Education and Communities took a leadership role in this undertaking. The first step was for the department was to establish a facilitators group comprising two representatives who had strong Braille skills from each of the 23 vision teams, one representative from the technical and further education sector, known as the TAFE, and one representative from the university sector in New South Wales, to identify all the issues associated with the implementation of the UEB code for students and discuss and prepare an implementation strategy plan. And the recommendations of this plan, as I'll now outline. Firstly, we started with just we treated it as two separate components, literary and mathematics, and I'll touch on the literary ones first. Instruction for UEB would commence for all students from preschool to Year 11 in Term 1, 2006. All material, old and new, would be provided for preschool to Year 2 and would be in UEB as these students were still developing their Braille skills. All new text material for Years 3 to 11 would be produced in UEB. All existing literary material in the old code for Years 3 to 11 would continue to be provided to students from the library collection until gradually replaced, updated, or text became redundant. Year 12 students who are in their last year of schooling in 2006 would continue in their current code but would be made aware of changes inherent in UEB. This was made more as an awareness rather than engagement in UEB. For the technical components, instruction in UEB, as in mathematics, would commence for all students from preschool to Year 6 in Term 1, 2006, but introduced for Year 3 to 6 based on the textbook availability as what was already available in Braille in the old code. So when it was there, we used it, and if it wasn't, we rebrailed it. The examination components were obviously one of the other major issues for the facilitator group. In 2006, the Year 10 cohort of students undertaking the external statewide Year 10 examination, known as the School Certificate, held in October, would be given the opportunity of requesting the examination in Braille for the humanities subjects, English and History, Geography and Civics, in either the old code or UEB. This ensured the students from outside the government system were not disadvantaged, and the department students could undertake the examination in the code in which they are most comfortable. Technology issues were also put on the agenda, and the support that was provided. The 12 Braille outposts that are part of the unit outside of our current office, they would be provided as soon as possible with an update of the Duxbury Braille translation program. The central unit already had this latest version installed. The 23 vision support teams would be provided as soon as possible with a copy of the Duxbury Braille translation software as well, for use by one member of their team, and this may have been by means of either a PC in their school base or as a laptop if they were more mobile. Other considerations were the TAFE and university representatives would identify which students would be enrolled in that sector in 2006 and decide whether either to new students in 2006 to be supplied with material in UEB or wait until the students had moved through the school sector with UEB knowledge. So looking now at the outcomes of the statewide and national examinations. In May 2006, the first year of implementation of the literary and mathematical elements of UEB, New South Wales held its statewide assessment in literacy and numeracy for students in years 3 and 5. Following the facilitator's decision on implementation of UEB into the sector, students were given the opportunity of choosing which Braille code they would like their examination material to be provided. All students chose UEB, which was a significant outcome as students had only been using the code for 3 months and were still in a developing stage of their Braille learning. It was exciting to see from the students' responses that new signs such as the bullet were used by these students as part of their writing draft in the writing component of the test. In New South Wales, all statewide assessment material is returned to the centralised unit after the examination to be transcribed back into print for marking at the statewide marking centre. A similar result was noted in August with the older students when Years 7 and 9 undertook their statewide assessments in literacy and numeracy. Also in 2006, at the final Year 12 statewide examinations known as the Higher School Certificate, as expected and as part of the plan, no students sat for examinations in UEB. But by 2009, 3 years later, all 17 examination subjects that were required that year were all in UEB. In 2008, the first national assessment on literacy and numeracy, referred to as NAPLAN, for students in years 3, 5, 7 and 9, was introduced by the Commonwealth Government. Once again, because all jurisdictions in Australia were involved, students had the opportunity to indicate through their support teacher which Braille code they would prefer. These were all Braille to accommodate individual requirements and were a mix of UEB and non-UEB nationally. By 2010, UEB was the only Braille code requested nationally. UEB was now fully immersed in all jurisdictions for all students throughout the country. Some humps and bumps. Production. All textbook requirements are forwarded from schools to the State Braille and Large Print Unit for production into Braille throughout the year. An academic year in New South Wales commences from around the end of January, early February, to mid to late December. The peak production for new work is usually over the Christmas period and continues on for the whole of that year according to the priorities required by the student. According to the framework developed by the facilitators group, all these new titles were produced in UEB. Once a student was exposed to a mathematics textbook in UEB, then that was the code the student would only ever receive. The long-term commitment was therefore made at that point for that student. What this meant was that technical work was phased in over 2 years for some students to ease the production strain. If a title was already available in the old code, then the student used this until a title that was not already available had to be brailled. This took a couple of years to flow through the system. Once the student commenced UEB technical work, then from that point onwards, UEB was the only code provided to that student. I informally asked some of our teachers if they could give me some testimonial about how their student worked with UEB in the first instance. It was a little difficult because it's now become almost a distant memory. But I've got some responses back and I haven't edited them. So these are exactly what's come back to me when I asked them for a list of questions and they responded. And the first teacher replied, "When UEB came in, I was working with a Year 10 student who was a very proficient Braille user in a mainstream setting. Despite her initial refusal to use the new symbols when writing Braille, she had no real problems with UEB. I did introduce the new symbols in a withdrawal setting, but this did not take long. Because she was such a good reader, context would have helped her with any problems she came across. I'd say we pretty much took it in our stride." And the second teacher? "My mainstream HSC Braille student had no trouble adapting to the changes. If he was reading old Braille text, he quickly picked up on things like by, to, and ation, etc. I guess students who are blind and in the mainstream have the same wherewithal, re-literacy and language, as sighted students and quickly pick up on changes. I'm now working with 2 Braille users and HSC level in a support class, and even they have been able to embrace the changes without difficulty. Keep in mind I'm talking basic reading though, not the more in-depth transcriber level. Both students have an intellectual disability. And the number three, student X, male, picked up the UEB code quite quickly. He was in high school when I began introduction of UEB literary code, year 10, I think. Instruction was at lunchtime twice a week. And the fourth teacher, I like UEB and so do my students. It is logical, less complicated than the previous system, and more closely follows print conventions. None of my students had any difficulty coping with the change and took very little time or instruction to read it perfectly. I don't think they referred to the explanation at the front of the book, though, brackets, sorry, brackets. One was still able to read old code in some of the novels without difficulty by figuring it out themselves. My students are mainstream primary and secondary students. The fifth teacher, introduction of UEB to a high school student. Our student had been using Braille from a very early age and she had a good Braille knowledge. This student was in Year 8 when the change to UEB began and the transition to UEB did not pose any significant issues. The same approach was taken to introduce the changes in literacy and numeracy. A Braille glossary of the changes was produced for the student. This booklet listed the old code in one column and then the UEB code. A separate book for literacy and numeracy was prepared and became the teaching tool for her. No withdrawal from classes was needed. However, tasks